Are you amazed when you hear about a Jew becoming a Christian? Does it seem incongruous to you? Do you realize there was a time in history when the Jews were amazed that the Gentiles had become Christians? This is the time we're looking at because it's the Holy Spirit that puts Jews and Gentiles into one body and makes them part of His glorious church. We're going to look at that today as we look at life in the Spirit. Isn't it amazing that today you and I are so thrilled or so excited or so blown away or are just wondering what's happening when we hear about a Jew becoming a Christian? Well, in the days of Peter, it was a different, the tables were turned exactly the opposite direction because the church heard about the salvation of Cornelius and other Gentiles that had gathered in his home, and they were amazed. They weren't sure that this was really of God. A Gentile coming to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus who was of the stem of Jesse, Jesus who was of the tribe of Judah, Jesus who was of the family and house of David, Jesus. They would believe in Jesus. Yes, that's what happened. 8 years after Pentecost, when Peter, who was in Joppa, got a vision from God and went down to Cornelius and to his household and gave them the gospel, that was a revolutionary day. And word of that meeting reached the elders in Jerusalem mighty quick. Let's look at it. In Acts chapter 10, we have the account of the salvation of Cornelius and his household, the account of the Holy Spirit coming on them just as He did on the Jews at the beginning, at the first day of Pentecost. Now we come to Acts chapter 11, and it says, "Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, 'You went to the uncircumcised and you ate with them.'" What on earth are you doing, Peter? Are you crazy? You know that we don't go into those houses. You know that they're unclean. You know that they don't prepare their food right. You know that they mix milk and meat. For heaven's sakes, Peter, what were you doing? In other words, it was probably just this irate. And Peter began speaking, and he proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze upon it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Arise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord. Nothing holy, unholy, or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer call unholy.' And this happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them." In other words, listen, I was directed by the Holy Spirit. Do you want me to disobey the Holy Spirit? He says, "And I went with them without misgivings. And these six brethren also went with me. And we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who's also called Peter, brought here.' And he sent words, 'And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved and all your household.'" How does faith come from? Where does it come from? How does it come? It comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We have to understand who Jesus Christ is. And then understanding that, embracing it, believing it, then we are saved. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If, therefore, God gave to them the same gift that he gave to us also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way? In other words, their salvation was not of me. It was of God. He gave them the same Holy Spirit that he gave us. He baptized them in the Holy Spirit just like he baptized us in the Holy Spirit. Now remember, baptized means to be united with. It means to be identified with. So the Holy Spirit moved into their lives. And he says, and when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. And they recognized that even the change of mind had been granted to those Gentiles by God. What was happening? I told you in the last program that this is Gentile Day. This is exciting. But this is not just Gentile Day. This is Church Day. This is the beginning of the mystery of the church. And this is what I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 2. But he's speaking to these Gentiles. And he's saying in verse 11, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is the state of all mankind apart from the Jews until Jesus Christ appears on the scene and puts Jew and Gentile into one body, and that is the body of Jesus Christ. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In other words, God started, let's start this way. Okay, God started with a tree, all right? And with that tree was Israel. All right, now it was all Jewish branches. But now God has grafted in, and I'm going to use a red glove if you can use this in your imagination. So you've got a vase coming up that's like a tree, and you've got vines coming out of it that are like the branches, the Jews. And now you put in another branch. A branch that is different than the Jews, a Gentile branch. And so this is what God has done here in the time of Acts in 8 years after Pentecost. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. Both groups what? Jews and Gentiles into one. They're connected into one. So he's made them one. And now he goes on to say this, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He broke that barrier down. Now, what was the dividing wall? The dividing wall was the law. It was the law. It was the law that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. It was the law that kept the Gentiles away from the Jews. But now that middle wall of partition, that law has been brought down. It has been broken down by the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you can imagine the cross and one side of the crossbar reaching over to the Jews and the other side of the crossbar reaching over to the Gentiles, and now they're united through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, by abolishing, he broke down this barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh, in Jesus' flesh, the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And it's all the Ten Commandments. You start and it's all the ordinances that go with the Ten Commandments. You start reading Exodus 20 and you keep on reading through Exodus chapter 24 and you'll get it and you'll begin to see those ordinances, and Leviticus elaborates on them more. But he says, abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself, in Jesus Christ, he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace. Establishing peace how? Well, establishing peace between the Jew and between the Gentile. I have an exciting story that I'm going to tell you when you come back. It's a story of an Arab that I just ate a meal with just recently. An Arab that stood up and spoke to a group and told them how he was part of the people in the land of Israel that planned the suicide bombers, that made the bombs and went into Jewish territories in order to kill the Jews. And he's sitting there at a breakfast sponsored by the Ministry of Tourism of Israel, at which one of the members of the Knesset, the governing party, like our Congress, our Senate, the governing party of Israel was at and speaking. And what happened when my dear Jewish friend heard that Arab just absolutely blew him away, because an enemy had become a peacemaker. An enemy had become a friend through the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, it erases, the cross erases the enmity between Jew and Gentile. How does it do it? We'll talk about it after this break.
I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. We want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Glad you're back, my friend. Oh, I wish that you could have been with me at that breakfast. This was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention that I'm a member of, and I'm on the board of directors. And I was speaking at this breakfast along with other good friends, one of them, Janet Parshall. And they sat me at a table where they had a man who was going to speak after the breakfast who was an Arab. An Arab that had been trained. I mean, his family for generations had been at war with Israel. They hated the Jews. They wanted to kill the Jews. They wanted to get rid of them. And they were the ones that were responsible for making the bombs and getting them on these suicide bombers. And this guy told me how he had come to know Jesus Christ. It was an incredible story, and I'm not going to tell you now. Someday we'll do him. We'll talk to him. We'll interview him on the program. But it was an incredible story. But what absolutely amazed this member of the Knesset as he sat after this meeting and listened to him speak at another meeting, he was blown away. And when we got to the hotel, he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "I can't understand it. I just can't understand it. How he could be changed. How he could love the Jews now." And I thought, that's Christianity. That's what happens. Because when we come to know Jesus Christ, what God does is he takes Jew and Gentile and puts them in one body. This was what was happening on the day that Cornelius had Peter explain the gospel to him. And God opened the eyes of Cornelius and his household, and they believed on Jesus Christ. This is what happened. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, and let me read on. "By abolishing in his flesh, in Jesus' flesh, the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances." This is what separated the Jews from the Gentiles. "That in himself, in Christ, he, God, might make the two into one new man, Jew and Gentile, thus establishing peace." Well, this is exactly what happened that day, 8 years after Pentecost, "and might reconcile them both in one body." Now, what I've done is I've drawn a little green stick figure as a body over these references to the body, because I want us to see and I want to remember that this is what the body of Christ is all about, "that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross." That's the only way. "That by having put to death the enmity, and he came," now he's quoting the Old Testament, "he came and he preached peace to those who were far off and to those that were near." Those that were near were the Jews. Those that were far off were the Gentiles. So Jesus came and he preached peace to both of them. "For through him," through Jesus, "we both," Jew and Gentile, "have our access in one Spirit to the Father." You've got to mark the Spirit there. All right. So how do we have access to God? What unites Jew and Gentile into one body? It's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in the Jewish believer, the Spirit of God in the Gentile believer. Now, it's not in every Jew, but the Jew that believes in Jesus and the Gentile that believes in Jesus are united in one body by the Spirit of Christ. This is life in the Spirit. And this is why you find so many Christians loving Israel, because it's through Israel that we get all these benefits. And it was Israel that got saved first. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," the good news of Jesus Christ. "It is the power of God unto the Jew first and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile. Jew first and then Greek. Now we are so oriented as Gentiles that we think that we're the author of this salvation and that we're the ones that started it. Oh no, beloved, we are grafted in. Now listen to what he says. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You Gentiles are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. Those Jews that believed in Jesus are saints. And when you believe in Jesus, you become a saint. So you can just call me Saint K if you want to. All right. And are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, who were all Jews, and the prophets, who were all Jews, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All right. So watch what he goes on to say. In whom the whole building, this whole building, the body of Christ, is also likened to a building, in whom the whole building being fitted together into a growing into a holy temple for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happens? Every time another person believes in Jesus Christ, they are brought into the body of Christ. And so it's like a building that is growing into this temple of God, because each one of us that is a true believer has the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is what marks us as a child of God. Now, go on down, and in verse 22 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. I didn't want you to miss, in my hurriedness, marking the Spirit. So mark the Spirit there. All right. For this reason, I, Paul, Ephesians 3, verse 1, the prisoner of Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. When Paul got saved, he was sent as a missionary. He was commissioned by God to go to the Gentiles. He says that by revelation, verse 3, there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. So he's going to tell us about the mystery. All right. Now, what is the mystery? Verse 4, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is what happened 8 years after Pentecost. Jews and Gentiles came into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at Romans chapter 11, just so that you understand this whole Jewish picture. So go to Romans chapter 11, because Romans, the book of Romans, is written to Jews and Gentiles that are there in Rome, that are part of the church, to explain to them how God worked through the Jews and how he worked through the Gentiles. So Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, he's saying, oh, he said, has God rejected his people? In Romans 11, let's look at it. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? He's talking about the Jews. May it never be. I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, now that the church has been formed, now that we have Jews and Gentiles in one body, is God through with all the rest of the nation of Israel? Is he going to throw them away? Should we just disregard them and pay no attention to them and not even try to share the gospel with them, or not even try to love them and to compensate in some way for all that has been done to them, all the cruelty in the name of Jesus Christ, all the anti-Semitism that has come from an ignorant, biblically ignorant church that is just following the teaching of the head of the church? Oh, no. Oh, no. He wants us to understand that God is not through with the Jews. He says God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. He hasn't rejected his people whom he foreknew. Look at verse 11. He says, I say then, the Jews did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Did they reject Jesus so that God is through with the Jews? He says, may it never be. He says, by their transgression, their rejection of Jesus, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. And he says, now if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? And then he says, I want to show you an illustration. I want to take a tree, all right? And he says, the stump of that tree is Israel, all right? The branches are the Jews, the believers. But all the Jews did not believe when Jesus came to earth. Some of them rejected him. So those branches were broken off. They were thrown aside. Now along comes a Gentile. And this Gentile comes along and this Gentile says, hey, I want to believe. And this is a natural olive tree. This is an unnatural olive tree. This is a wild olive tree. That's what I should say. So what does he do? He takes this wild olive branch that is not Jewish, but that believes, and he puts him in the body of Jesus Christ. And he says, okay, now should you look at the Jews and say, ha, 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 you didn't get it. I got it. And he says, oh, no. He says, you will say, well, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. He says, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. And then he goes on to say this in verse 25 of Romans 11, I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Then all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, the second coming of Christ. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is the covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. When I say that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, you need to take that to heart. You need to know this, that everything that God promises, everything that He says will be fulfilled. God watches over His Word to perform it. You can trust Him. So as God made these promises to the Jews, He will fulfill those. As He called them His covenant people, as He promised to reestablish Jerusalem and make it the praise of the earth, it will happen, beloved. His gifts and His callings are irrevocable. So know this, that when you call on Him and you ask Him for the gift of eternal life, He gives it to you, and He gives it to you by His Spirit. We'll look at that in the next program, and I can't wait to teach you these precious, precious truths that are irrevocable.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. And join us next time as we look at more Precepts for Life.